We're going to continue tonight in our series about authentic Christianity. But I can't see a thing. See, the reality is that we depend on light. We need it to direct us. We need it to lead us. But how many of us, at times in our life, are quite content with walking in the darkness? Because you see, we've done it just for a few moments now. And just a few moments ago, the darkness was dark. But now the darkness has come normal. And now, a few moments ago, I couldn't see you. But now I can start to see a reflection of you. So then I have a choice to make. Do I continue to walk in the darkness? Do I continue to stay in this place of darkness? Because actually, a few moments ago, I couldn't see you. But now I can see you just a little. So now I've got a choice to make. My choice is to make is this. Am I satisfied to stay where I am? And actually walk through the journey of life in darkness. But understanding at moments, I'll find a small glimpse of light. And in those small glimpses of light, I may even encounter some heavenly person in those moments. Because as I stand here tonight, I can see at the back that Paul Wheeler has a function tonight in the kingdom of God. He's sharing in his light. He's being in the presence of God. He's doing what God has asked him to do. And that's why, at the moment, if I look to my right, I can see him. A, because the monitors are lighting up the screen in front of him, but there I get a glimpse of somebody tonight who's choosing not to walk in the darkness, but to be present in the light. Or maybe I can say it a different way. Somebody who's choosing not to walk in the darkness with Satan on his back, but choosing to walk in the light with Jesus being his master. Now I can see to my right these candles that are lit up tonight and speak of love and hope and joy of peace. But how appropriate is it that they're lit up to show me what they really mean? See, authentic Christianity is not about us having to have it all together. But authentic Christianity, as we finish our series tonight, is about us being authentic with Christ. If we can just have the spots on the front on, please. So let me read some words to you tonight. And you're going to stay in darkness just for a little bit longer. The words in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 says this. So 1 John 1, 5 to 7 says these words. For this is the message you have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. But if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sins. Even that scripture tonight is very clear, is it not? That this is the message we have heard from him. Who's him? He is God. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you They've heard it from God, and now they want to declare it to them, the readers at the time, the people at the time, and now they want to declare it to us, that God is light. So why would we ever want to walk in darkness if God is light? And if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from our sins. So now we know about the light, because I've just spoken it over you. But we've still got to make a choice right now. The choice still has to be, are we willing still to walk in the light, knowing where it's come from and knowing who it belongs to? Or are we still content because now our eyes have come a bit clearer, because we've seen some light, but we haven't seen all the light? And even though there's some of us who are quite content at times in our lives to walk in total darkness and only have a glimpse of those people who are what we would say people of God, who are walking in the light, serving God. But then sometimes in our lives we want a part of the light. We want just a small part of it, so that we won't bump into things that will harm us, not to bump into things that might cause us pain, but still not to have the full illumination of the light. Because as the full illumination of the light comes, then we will very clearly see the full responsibility that God has on our lives. So I'm going to, tonight, say this. Satan is called the Prince of Darkness. Satan is called the Prince of Darkness. That should be significant evidence for you and I to not walk in that darkness at all, even just momentarily, because the darkness does not belong to God. The darkness belongs to the devil, to Satan. And if I asked every single one of you in this place tonight, do you ever want to walk close to Satan? Your answer will be no. But so often from decisions that we make and circumstances that we are surrounded by, often in our own doing, we walk far too long in the grasp of the darkness instead of trusting God with everything and walking in the light. I don't know about you, but that quote that I came across today from Charles Spurgeon's, it's a good place to go, in my opinion, that Satan is called the Prince of Darkness, that should be significant evidence for you and I to never have a desire to walk in darkness. You see, when God says, come and walk with me in the light, he doesn't ask you to come with perfection. He doesn't ask you to come with it all together. He doesn't ask you to come thinking that you've got it all boxed off, that you're the perfect Christian, because there's only one person that's perfect, and his name is not your name or is not my name. His name is Jesus. But he says, come on the journey with me. Come and walk in the light, because I have plans and purposes for your life. So I'm going to just make an assumption for the next 10 minutes, is that you want to come along on a journey with me in the light rather than the darkness. But even if I continue to preach the rest of this message in this environment, we're already used to it. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be used to this. He wants us to be used to being in the darkness, but yet see a little bit of the light. Because if we live like that and stay in this environment, then the devil has got a bit of a victory over you and I right now and this church. That's right. Yeah. But he wants you and I, and he wants the leaders of this church, past or present or now, the leaders now, to say we need to switch on the light. We need to bring the presence of God into every situation, to love and to encourage, to inspire and to build up, to rebuke and to do all the counters that Christ asks of us to do. And I have to ask myself the question that I'm going to encourage you to ask yourself this evening. And the question is this: how much of my life of 44 years have been walking around the world in this atmosphere with the light in front of me, but surrounded by the darkness? And often I'm surrounded by the darkness because I'm choosing not to depend fully on the light. It's my decision. Don't have any sympathy on me. I don't need it, because I put myself in that situation. And if I'm honest with you, if I can be with you, you do the same at times. But what are we fearful of? What are we fearful of? Because it just said in that verse, it said there that this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness. They've heard it from who? From God. They declare it to us as God's people to tell us that it's God's good news. The people have walked in darkness, but then they've seen a bright light. Let's switch the lights on fully, if we can. Close your eyes, because it's going to be a shock. What does it mean for you and I today, as we come to the end of this series on authentic Christianity? Well, that's bright. What does it mean for you and I to step into the light? This is the message you have heard from him and declares to you: God is light. In him there needs to be no darkness. The moment you and I gave our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, from that moment to this moment tonight, his intention for us is to allow him to walk with us and to allow him to navigate us through the darkness of the world, with him being the light. But the reality is this, that if I want Jesus to fully be the life of my life, I have to give him everything. Everything. And the reality for me, and can I dare to say it's the reality for you sometimes too, that I'm quite content at times by having a small portion of light to fulfill me to do what I think is of the Lord, but not to fully allow the whole of him to be present in my life. What about if we decided some of these words were true for our lives? That we would say we love because he first loved us. And we have faith in God, faith in people, and faith for miracles. That we are humble, open, and transparent people of integrity. That we're generous. We give not to give. We give just to give, not to get. In our service, we use our hands to show our hearts. In worship, we use our lives to express God's worth. In excellence, we hold ourselves in high standard, scripturally in God's word, and we place ourselves in his hands. In discipline, we are committed to the structures of the New Testament in training and correction and rebuking. In relationships, we belong together. And in honor, we honor God, we value people, we demonstrate our gratitude by telling them so. And we have fun. Because you see, some of those things talk about people that have been transformed by the presence and the light of God. So when I walk in the light, when I walk in the light fully, I become free. Free from what others think. Free from what I tell myself about myself. When I walk in the light, I become free in Christ. God wants to bring each and every one of us tonight, at the end of this series, the understanding that he wants to bring us freedom by walking in the light. But walking in the light is a state of being obedient to do all that God reveals to you through his Spirit. Let me say that again. Walking in the light is the state of being obedient to do all that God reveals to you to do through the work of his Holy Spirit in you. You see, let's just imagine that the light represents God, which it does. He's now illuminated himself fully to me. And in doing so, he asked me then to walk in full obedience to him. But walking in the light is a state of obedience. It's a state of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and reveal his purposes to you. So let me ask you a question tonight. What is God asking of you to do right now to be a person that walks in the light? What is God asking you to do tonight to be a person who is walking in the light? I didn't ask you the question, what are you telling yourself you should be doing tonight, or what you would like to be doing tonight, or what you think you'd be good at tonight? I didn't ask those three questions. But so often we jump to those rather than answering the question, which is this: what is God asking of you right now? Now you've got a full understanding of the light. Now you've got a full understanding that Jesus came as a baby. He grew up to be a man. He walked through the Gospels, as we heard this morning. And then he went to a cross to die a painful death. For what purpose? To bring us into a saving knowledge and relationship with him by his grace. So walking in the light is about being obedient to what God reveals for you to do through the Holy Spirit. So what is God asking you to do tonight through the revelation of his Holy Spirit speaking to you? And you might say, well, nothing. Well, ask. And you might say, well, how do I do that? Well, just ask his Spirit to speak into the things that he would ask of you to do. And don't be surprised when you might hear the answer and then say, Lord, really? I can't do it. Because that's the way he works. Some are rejoicing, some are sad that I'm walking into new things. Some have told me that I can't do it. Some have told me that I'll be good at it. And I've listened to none of those views. But it still doesn't mean that I'm not fearful about the future. Because I'm anxious. I have anxiety, like some of you do in this room, let's just admit it. I'm fearful of my lack of ability. I'm fearful that of many things. But I'm also confident that the Savior who sent his only Son to die on a cross to redeem me from my sins and to give me new life is on my case. And that's the reality, is that's all I need. And that's all you need. But let me ask you the question, are you truly walking in the light? Or are you walking in that darkness and light? Because when God came, he made it very clear. He made it very clear that God is light, in him there is no darkness. So what is God asking you to do right now for him? To walk in his light. I love this quote where it says, walking in the light is a state of being obedient to all that God reveals to you to do through the work of his Holy Spirit. It's not about him asking, revealing himself to do something through the words of the senior pastor. You don't listen to that one. Or the associate pastors, or your best friend. It's better to listen to him. Because he can see things that nobody else can see. And he knows your capability more than anybody else does. So I want to encourage you tonight. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means to be obedient to God and to the plans and the purposes that he has for you. God doesn't want us to just be satisfied by being part of the light and part of the darkness. Because the longer we do that, the devil is saying, amen and amen. I've got the church just where I need them. I've got the people of God just where I need them to be. God wants you and I to step out of that, knowing that the light comes from Christ and stepping into his ways. But I love this bit here where it says here, it's hard, but I love it. And we saw this a bit last week. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. I'm no great theologian. I never have been, never will be. But that little verse there, that frightens me. Because actually it says that if you claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, you lie and the truth does not live in you. What does that say? It says we can't just joke about with God. We can't mess about with God. We can't deceive God. We can't deceive ministers and elders and church members and life group leaders and friends. We can't mess about with this stuff. God's not asking for perfection, but what he's asking is for authenticity. What he's asking for you and I is to say that actually he wants us to fully live in the light. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we're lying. We can't do that. That's not his plans and his purposes for us. And why can't we do that? Because he can't build his kingdom that way. And he can't give to us all the goodness that he has for us that way. And he can't use us in all the powerful ways that he wants to use us in that way. And he can't reveal himself to us abundantly in that way. And he can't bless us so much in that way. You see, it's all about his care and his kindness to us. Every single one of you here knows tonight that when you've stepped into a situation for God, when you've had the lack of ability to do it, and I'm pretty sure we've all done that at least once. None of us are that smart. And when God shows up and God comes through, God gets the glory momentarily. And then sometimes we slip back in to the reality of the situation. But we have to be careful here because Scripture says to us that if we claim to live that way, that we might be able to deceive everybody else around us, but we're never going to be able to deceive God. And if you want to take that risk, well, you take it. I'm trying hard not to, because I know one day that I will stand before a greater judge than anybody in this room. I'll stand before God one day, and he'll say to me, why did you mess with me then? Why did you do that? Why did you do this? You see, what does it mean? It says in Psalm 119, in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What is the light? The light is walking in the presence of God, but also God's word is a light. God's word is a light for us. God's word is the thing that's going to help us through the journey. God's word is the thing that's going to take us from the darkness and into the light. You see, even if you switch off the words here, the lights again, I was in complete darkness and I didn't know where I was going, and you put me in the middle of a field somewhere. Then what would I do? Well, I'll get scared for a few moments because I don't like the dark. That's a little honesty thing with you there. I don't like when you put a pillow over my face either. My brother used to always do that. And for a few moments, I'd be in darkness and I'd probably have a big sense of fear. And then, if I didn't have my Bible, Sorry, if I didn't have my Bible, what would I be able to call on? Well, some of us in this room, which is a beautiful thing to see, some of us in this room can quote this thing without even having it in your hand, and I love that. Some of us can't. And I want to say work at that a bit better in love. But I love being around people when I'm in moments like that and they're saying, don't worry, we're just going to speak God's word and truth into this darkness to get us into the light. And if you put me in that field and I had nobody else, no cell phones, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? No cell phones, no communication. And then you put me in a really awkward situation of total darkness, of total darkness. Well, then what would I use to get out of that situation? What would I use? I would use God's word. I'd use his promises and his truth. And I'll speak those things into my life to have being. Why? Because I'm special? No, because I'm a child of God, yes. And because I'm a disciple, yes. And because I'm a priesthood of all believers, and because he's my king and I'm his servant, yes. And because I'm his child, yes. And what would I use to get out the darkness? I would use his word to get me out of the darkness. And to walk in the light is to bring ourselves in our lives in alignment to the word of God. You see, to walk in the light for longevity and fruitfulness is to, for you and I, to bring ourselves in alignment with the word of God. That the word of God becomes my life and your life. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, how often is this thing in my hand? How often does it have my attention? How often do I hold on to it and look to it for inspiration and guidance? Or how often is it just discarded? Because I don't need it. But the reality is, it's the only thing that's going to defend me in the situations I sometimes get myself into. And it's the only thing that's going to help me get out of the darkness is by making sure that the word of God, as it says in the psalm, the word of God is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. But where we started just a few moments ago, you see, when God, when we're in that darkness and light, we're in that vague place, the devil's got hold of us, but then Jesus speaks profoundly to us at times. But when we immerse ourselves into his plan and his purpose for our life and walk in the light, then his word speaks things over me and into me. Then his word says to me that you're dearly loved. And his word says to me that you're my child and I'm going to equip you. I'm going to enable you. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to be with you when you face trials and temptations and anxiety and fears. You see, the word of God is the thing that helps us stay in the presence of God. The word of God is the thing that helps us stay in the light. And the word of God is the thing that says to us, you can do this in me if I've ordained it and planned it. You see, if I want to stay walking in the light, there must be nothing that I do that is conflicted to the word. If I want to walk in the light, I've got to walk in the truth. And the truth is here. Yeah, I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to make mistakes along the way. But have you not read it? He says, when my heart's repentant, he'll pick me up again. And he'll pick me up again. He'll pick me up again. Again. See, what God doesn't want us to do is walk in the darkness. He wants us to walk in the light with the truth of God in our hands to help us overcome ourselves and overcome the world. Why is it important for authentic Christianity for us to live as people of light and not in darkness? It's because Christ has won the victory already. But the devil who is the prince of darkness, still likes to roam around. You see, darkness is sin, and the light is truth. And my job and your job is to love the truth, to acknowledge that we have sinned, to understand that we need cleansing from our sins. We heard that powerfully this morning. But then allow the Word of God to come to us. And we have to allow the Word of God to come to us in light and truth. We need to choose to live our lives according to it. We need to choose to not be distracted to the temptations of the darkness, but we need to live in the truth of the light. Because it says here in finishing, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sins. Oh, you know, the Bible says that the word is just like a sweet perfume. It is, isn't it? Some of you don't look like it is. God bless you. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sins. So the question is this: what are you going to choose to do tonight? You going to choose to live like this? Or are you going to let circumstances, situations, people? Can we switch off someone at the back, please? Heather, could you do that? Or Jonathan? Or are we going to let the darkness overcome us? What does it say in the scriptures about that? What does it say? Switch the other lights off. Sorry?
The light has overcome the darkness.
Amen. The light has overcome the darkness. This cross is lit up with some lights. That's not just because it's fancy. It is quite fancy, though, isn't it? You like it? If you'd like to give that heart to somebody as a leaving gift, I'll take it. I love it. And so I've decided that. I can't even see Ricky. I can't even see the face he pulled. But the thing is this. You see, Jesus came to light up the way on the cross of Calvary, to give in you and I life, and life in all its fullness. And the circumstances of life will pull us down, will make us walk in darkness, just because of the circumstantial situations that we face. But when we read the Word and we allow the Word to have an impact in our life, and when we allow the truth to live within us, the brightness comes. God is present. The choice is ours. The choice is mine. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For you, I know what God wants of you. I know what God requires of you. You know why I know? Because he requires the same of me. He requires me and you and I, to realize that the cross was for a purpose. A, to redeem us from our sin. Amen. To give us salvation. And let me finish with this last point. It was to do those two things, but the world will only see Christ if you and I, through the hardships, through the pain, I've got them too. But God wants you and I to walk through those things with Jesus being the light. Because when we do that, there is an opportunity that people may momentarily glimpse something of the Lord. And when they glimpse something of the Lord in the likeness that you shine, if God is gracious, which he is sometimes, they may come back and ask us what it was. And there we have an opportunity, as it says in 1 Peter, to give an account for the hope and the truth that we have come to understand through Christ Jesus. And then, and only then, would there be more people coming to salvation and walking in the light rather than the darkness. Church, let me pray for us. But the choice is yours. It's not mine. That's why I need to be in the house of God every week. That's why I need to come and be with my brothers and sisters to help me to reflect the light. And that's why we need to be present. But it has to be a personal choice. And I get a sense, just as I'm saying that word, that there's some of you, your light used to shine really brightly, and now it's a bit dim, and you're wondering why. Can I be bold enough to say to you tonight that you just need to ask for the Lord to replenish your light? Because I don't think you've asked him for a while. But there's some of us that have been so content with walking in the darkness, or complete darkness, or a bit of darkness, and we've just got so content there. And can I ask you, to tonight, if you're able to, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're obliged to and obligated to too, is to say tonight during this next bit of worship, Lord, I'm no longer living there because I don't belong there. And you're not, the devil isn't keeping me there any longer. Because even though I might be awkward so-and-so, God loves me and I'm going to walk in the light. Shall we pray? Thank you, Ben. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Forgive me, Lord, I've gone on, but forgive me for that. But Lord, I just pray now that you will help us, Father God. God, we look to you tonight to help us, Father God, to not feel condemned, but to feel that that the Lord himself has given us a commendation tonight. And the Lord says to us, rise up, soldiers. Rise up, brothers and sisters. Live in the light, because that's the way I call you to live. And as the darkness comes around you, my word will be truth to you, to shield you, to protect you, to guard you, and to watch over you. Father God, help us to be people that intentionally step into the light of God's goodness each and every day. So, Holy Spirit, minister to us now as we sing together. Maybe for some of us, we just need to sit or stand. But maybe each and every one of us tonight knows where we are in that spectrum, don't we? Come on, we do, don't we? But I just want to ask you to do one simple thing. Is I want to just say to ask you to, if you're able to tonight, just say to the Lord, Lord, just take me where you need to take me now. And just have a willing heart and a willing spirit to do that. That's all he requires. That's all he requires of us tonight. And he'll take us to the next place that he wants us to be in, to shine his light. So that the Lord Jesus Christ has victory in our lives. Amen. And going up this mountain, there's loads of individual people sat around a campfire for one. And as you look up this mountain, there's some fires that are lit and they're burning ferociously. And there's some people sat around their fire for one, and it's just about to go out. And so when you look at the mountain from afar, you can see that it's got light on it, but you can't see light all over it. You can only see light fires on part of it. And I had a sense that as we were singing that song, God just said to me, I think some of us tonight, we've got our little campfire, and we're sat around our little campfire for one, not intentionally, because that's our personal relationship with the Lord. It's the one-to-one, isn't it? And actually, when we sit around our campfire, our campfire is just about to go out, and we need somebody just to go, whoosh, 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 We need the person next to us or the person a bit further up the mountain because their fire is furious. Is that a word? I don't know. Yeah, it's on fire big time. And blazing, Colin. That's why you're a man of God. Blazing. And your fire is blazing, Colin, but you've just got to come down because my fire is just about to go out, Colin. And I need Colin to come and just get his arm around me and just say, come on, Scott. Because when we do that, all the fires come alight. And it doesn't matter how far we are away, we're going to see the mountain from afar because it's on fire. The light is so bright. So what I want to do now, this evening, I want us just to pray for each other. If your fire is going out, that just come alongside, come to the front, and maybe somebody just put their hand on your shoulder. If you come to the front, you're making a decision to say, my fire's not strong. And nobody's looking. But God wants obedience from you. And then I want whoever stood at the front, I want another brother to come alongside them. Just a brother or a sister. Priests of all believers, what we believe is baptism, isn't it? And I want you to put your hand on their shoulder and don't blow in their face because that's impersonal. But I want you to just pray over them that the Spirit of God will just bring that kindle wood that's just about out to a flame again. Or for some that there's a flame, but it needs to be a furnace. I want a furnace in my life. You're going to pray for me for a furnace. Yeah, but you don't have to come thinking, oh Lord, I'm such a bad Christian. I just come because you're a Christian and life's tough. And just allow somebody to just minister to you. Blow on your fire, if we're allowed to say that in this modern age. Blow on your fire and just help you to get on fire again so that your light can shine so bright. So when you go into the office or school or college tomorrow, people are going to say, woohoo, that person's got something within them today. And it'll be the presence of the Lord in your lives. And through that, God will bring some glory and praise. And through that, you'll bring that person to church next Sunday so they can be saved. You don't think that was the start? We're going to have some more. So let's do that now. Can we do that? I don't know what you want to sing. Sing whatever you want to sing. Can we do that? So just come. And just stand at the front, and we're just going to just pray over each other. Is that, yeah, we're doing it. I'm not asking if it's okay. Let's do it.
Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, yeah. Which was inspired by what we've been sharing tonight, the fire on the mountain. It goes like this. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, yeah. And trembling to its source return in Come humble on. Prayer and fervent praise. Oof. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard that holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thy endless mercies seal, and make the sacrifice complete. That's powerful.
Oh, that was good, Brother Colin. Right, listen, we're going to, for 2 seconds, you can give the Lord a round of applause, Georgina, if you want. That's all right. So let me ask you a question. If these are left here next week, that'd be a bit of a waste of resources, wouldn't it? Yeah, you agree with me. Who's got a window in their front of their house? Come on, who's got a window in the front of their house? Come on, Heather, I know you've got one. Yeah, I walk past it most days, yeah. So this would be a great thing to put in your window, wouldn't it? It's not that. You don't have to speak to anybody. Just put it in the window. We'll even give you some blue tack if you've got no... Have we got blue tack? No, we can't give you any blue tack. No. That would be really wrong to say that. Okay, so listen. There's no point in having all this stuff here, is there, really? Because we ordered extra. So on the reception desk, I think there's some more stuff, so we might want to get that in a minute. So we're really good to take this stuff away with you to give to your friends and family this week. Oh, look at that. She's gone. So listen, RBC Seniors is finished for the year, but five people came to faith. Amen. Amen. The family air party was a great success, and Ricky can't walk. Let's not say amen to that because he's in a lot of pain. The Hope Service, 7:30 on Tuesday night. Salvation Army and Glebe School. We've got Glebe School. Rosanna's very proud, isn't she, that she's singing in her church. All her friends know that we're singing in my church. So come and, so that'd be great. She's told me that a few times, that she's very happy that we're singing in my church. Hope Service, 7:30 on Tuesday night. Big Sings here on Friday, the 20th, and just pray for that. So I'll be there, and as it's my last year, they've given me an opportunity a bit longer than I usually have, so I'm just going to share the gospel. So pray for me in that. Saturday the 21st, we've got Alternative Carols. That mega centre, this is Gospel Choir, Mulled Wine and Mint Spice. Just to say that you're not allowed into that one unless you bring a person who's not a Christian, just to clarify. And it's the same for the carol service as well on the 22nd. No, I'm just joking. Well, I wasn't really joking about the first thing. But anyway, carols on the 22nd, 10:30, children's in the morning. We heard this morning that we're going to have something special in it. I might not say it because you might all go home and tell your children, but it's going to be special. Candlelit Christmas worship in the evening at 5 o'clock, yeah? Christmas Eve family time with communion. Ricky described it, I think, well this morning. It's the midnight mass service, but not at midnight. At midnight. So don't go to the pub before that. Just come to that, 4 o'clock. And then on Christmas Day, the 25th, Christmas Day celebration as well. And then you've got a few days off. And then 29th in the morning, it'd be good to see you then as well if you would like to pop in. It'd be nice to say goodbye to you. So please take these with you. What? That one's highlighted. I'll keep that for my neighbour. He won't mind. Okay, so please just take these before you go. And have a great week. And let's be bold this week. Let's invite our friends. Because see what happened yesterday? Five faith. People to faith. This morning, five. You know, if we just get them here, God will do the rest. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if people got saved at our carol services? Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Colin, wouldn't that be great, Colin? Wouldn't it be great if people got saved at our carol services? See, Colin says it's brilliant. So if you don't listen to me, listen to Colin. It'll be brilliant, okay? So let me just pray. Gracious Father, go with us now and give us the faith to believe that you can do immeasurably more than we can think of, imagine. And Lord, give us confidence this week to invite our friends to the carol services. Because I was speaking to so many people on the door of Ian's family today, and not a single one of them said to me that they didn't enjoy themselves. So what are we scared of? Help us to invite our friends to come and hear that Jesus is the gift of hope this Christmas. Amen. Amen. Have a good week. Take care.